Amen. You may be seated. Take your Bibles. Turn to Book of Ruth. We're going to start in Ruth chapter 2, but keep it open. We're going to switch over to another chapter right away. Ruth chapter 2, we're going to look at one verse. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth. It's about the eighth or ninth book of the Bible. I said about, so don't count them up and say I was wrong. It is the eighth, by the way. I was counting while you're looking. If you haven't found it, just sit there and look intelligently as you can, all right? Ruth chapter 2, look at verse number 1. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. Now turn to chapter 4. Ruth chapter 4. Now we're going to read a fairly lengthy part of this chapter. And you say, preacher, what'd you skip all in between? You'll see why in just a second here. Look at verse number 1. Then went Boaz, that is according to chapter 2, verse number 1, the kinsman, correct? All right. Then went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there. Behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, ho, by the way, he wasn't Santa Claus. It didn't say ho, ho, ho. Ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit ye down here. They sat down. And he said unto the kinsmen, Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know, for there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. Then said Boaz, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar my own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Now this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning the changing. For to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor, and there was a testimony in Israel. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe, and Boaz, good thing they don't do it these days, everybody be gagging, amen. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day. Now, tonight, I want to talk to you about a truth that we're going to focus mostly on a man named Boaz tonight. Ruth will come into play towards the middle or the end here, but Boaz, now don't get mad at me when I say this, Boaz may be the most important character in the entire book of Ruth. Now, I know that's contrary to what people think, but as you see this truth unfold, you might understand it. Boaz, by the way, not to take away from Ruth or her loyalty or her humility, but honestly, Boaz is the key player in the entire book of Ruth. We often look at Ruth herself, but we look past the importance of Boaz. Boaz, according to chapter 2, verse number 1, is a kinsman. Now, that means this. He was a kinsman to Naomi. Naomi brought Ruth with her, so he was also a kinsman to Ruth. Now, watch this. by the end of tonight, you'll see how important that one word or that one position really is. Let me say this. Remember, these are real people with real situations. And I'm not on a crusade, but I'm saying it because I'm finding it more and more true in our culture. The Bible is not a storybook. Oh, that's a good story. No, this isn't the story of Ruth. This is the life of Ruth. These are real people. It's more than a history book stating facts. It's reality. Naomi and Elimelech owned land in Bethlehem, Judah. They left 10 years before and went to Moab. Turn back to Ruth chapter 1. Remember what it says in verse number 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to, what's the next word? Sojourn. That word sojourn is, we would use the word vacation. It meant to go for a little period of time. Later on, it says that, verse number 2, look at the last part of the verse there. And they came into the country of Moab and what? Continued there. They did not go to Moab to stay, but while they were there, decided to stay, but they didn't sell their land back home. So they have been gone from Bethlehem, Judah for 10 years. In that time, Elimelech dies. Naomi's two sons get married. Orpah and Ruth are their wives. Then her two sons die. Naomi is destitute. She's in a foreign country. She decides, look, I've got some land back home. Might take me a little while to get myself situated, but I've got at least a place to stay that's mine. I'm going to go back home. She tells her daughters-in-law, go back to your families, go back to your own gods. I'm leaving to go to Bethlehem, Judah. Orpah loved Naomi, but left and went back to do whatever she was going to do. And Ruth said, no, I'm going to stay with you. I'll move to your country. I'll go where you go. Your God will be my God, and I'm just going to follow you. Remember that? Now watch this. They didn't sell that land. Look down in verse number 3. And he said unto the kinsman, Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land which was our brother Elimelech's. In other words, she had her property, and the only thing she could do to live off of it was sell it so that she could have some money to live off of. But by the Hebrew culture, not only what they wanted to keep it in the family, so somebody had to be family to buy it. But because Ruth was there, the custom was whoever bought the land, because Ruth was without a child, whoever bought it had to have children with Ruth to keep the family name going, to keep the seed going. Now, listen to this very carefully. I'm going to get my little of our culture. You also need to realize there was no government supplements in those days. There was no welfare. There was no Social Security, no unemployment, no stimulus checks. You had to literally make a living. Wouldn't it be amazing what would happen in America if everybody had to work? Naomi and Ruth had the courage to move back, but it wasn't going to be an easy life once they got back there. They knew work was ahead. They're going to have to earn every meal and extra in order to do so. In chapter 2, last week I touched this, Ruth begins, you can look at me, I'll help you here. In chapter 2, Ruth is gleaning in the fields. In the Hebrew culture, when it came harvest time, the landowners usually were fairly wealthy. And what they would do is they wouldn't cut clear to the property lines. They would leave a few rows or a swatch so that the poor people could come in and they had something. They weren't going to give it to them. They had to go work for it to get it. If they were hungry enough to come work for it, they would let them come pick it. And if it was near a rock break or something, they would cut around it. They would just leave some things every once in a while. Every so many rows, they might leave a pathway or a patch up through there so that every so often there could be some extra because they had more than enough. Plus, they could glean whatever they didn't actually catch. If it hit the ground, they weren't to pick it up. That was for those that would come and glean in the fields. That's what gleaning is here in Ruth chapter 2. Ruth looks at Naomi and says, "You stay here. I'm going to go and I'll go. It's barley harvest. There's corn. There's barley being harvested. I'll go and pick." And she found a field where there were some people picking. And she said, "Look, I'm poor. Can I glean in the fields?" They said, "You sure may." And she went to town. She got to work. Matter of fact, she caught everybody's attention. Here's a younger lady that's working her tail off, and she's packing the food away, not in her mouth, but putting it, bagging it up and stuff. And she got so much attention that Boaz came by and said, "Who's that? She's working hard." And she said, and they said, "That's Ruth, a Moabitess that came with Naomi back from Moab." Now, listen to this very carefully. She's working hard. She wasn't complaining. She had a good spirit, and she was thankful for every bit of food that she was allowed to gather. Matter of fact, when Boaz went through, he asked how they were doing, and she said, "I'm doing well, and thank you for allowing me to be here to even survive." She had a good spirit about her. Ruth is in no better financial standing than anybody else that's gleaning in the fields. But she stood above all those that were else out there. Wonder how many of the others were out there complaining. "It's too hot. How come they didn't put it in bags for us? How come I can't pick up my welfare check and just get food stamps?" They didn't have WIC back then. They had a whip, but not a WIC. Amen? But her spirit was above everybody else that was in the same category as she was. Now watch this. Boaz and the hired leaders noticed Ruth. Boaz actually did several extra things for Ruth. He said, "Tell you what, you're working so hard at mealtime, you can come up to the house and eat with us." And you find out later in chapter 2, look at me, don't look at the chapter. You can read it later. I'll tell it to you true, I promise. Later in the chapter, after lunch, he tells his hired hands, he said, "Do me a favor. When you get near where she's working, dump handfuls of purpose on the ground for her." He said, "Make it a little easier on her. Every once in a while, dump a big bucket full down for her." And she'd work a little while and shazam, there it is. Pick it all up. Boaz then learned, by the way, at this point in time, he didn't know who she was. But when Boaz finds out that he is with Naomi, Naomi is a relative of Boaz's. Naomi is related to Boaz through her husband, Elimelech. Oh. So Boaz does some searching. Now, watch this. That makes this thing with Ruth totally different on his part. What is a kinsman? By the way, Ruth has no idea what's going on. She doesn't know what a kinsman is or what it's for. She's just there working, trying to put food in the cabinet and food in her belly and keep her and her mother-in-law alive. She's working hard. She has no idea Naomi knows who Boaz is and is related to him. She's just there working. That'd be like you going to a foreign country and finding out somebody that is in your family is related to the person that you're with. Hello, how'd that happen? Tonight, I want us to look at this thing of the kinsmen. And maybe I can help you understand this a little better. Number one, what is a kinsman? Are you ready? This is a real fancy. This is the official Hebrew definition. A kinsman is a blood relative, period. It's like a brother or an uncle or a cousin or a second cousin that's related by blood to someone else. Elimelech was not related to Naomi by blood, but she was just as much family as blood because of her two children from Elimelech. Now watch this. There was also somebody that was a closer kinsman than Boaz, and we'll get to that in a second here. The word kinsman, and I'm going to show you some things in other scriptures, so hang on. The nearer to the actual relationship you are, the higher up on the kinsman ladder you became. Does that make sense? So in other words, if Elimelech had two brothers, the brothers were the nearer kinsmen. But if neither one of those, their sons could become the next kinsman. If maybe it was a cousin. And sometimes it was a second cousin. So these are the blood relations that had to go through there in order to be a kinsman. And however close you were to the actual person that was not there determined how high up on the ladder you went. If there were two other brothers, the oldest was first, the younger was second. Does that make sense? So the oldest had his first choice. It wasn't a contest. But you had to go through the order of hierarchy. Does that make sense to everybody? So the kinsman could purchase any land owned by that relative, but he had to also assume caring for the people who were left in that family who owned that piece of land. So Ruth and Naomi had to be cared for by whoever bought that land. That meant they had to have a place to live. In Ruth's case, because she was married to someone who was a blood relative of Elimelech, they were married but had no children, it was the kinsman's job to make sure that she had a child, if possible, so that the bloodline for her first husband could keep going. That's what that's all about. Okay? Now, that means it was a way to keep the dead person's family's name alive. Otherwise, it would die out. And this was their way of keeping it alive and in the family. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 25. Go back to the left, about 50 pages. Deuteronomy chapter 25. Look at verse number 5. Deuteronomy 25, look at verse number 5. If brethren dwell together, and one of them die, and have no child, the wife of the dead shall not marry without unto a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go in unto her, and take her to him to wife, and perform the duty of an husband's brother unto her. In other words, if your brother died, and you have a sister-in-law, and she didn't have any kids, it was your responsibility to marry her and have kids. And it shall be that, verse number 6, that the firstborn which she beareth shall succeed in the name of his brother which is dead. That is, his name be not put out of Israel. In other words, then the child from that takes on his actual mom's first husband's name. So if Bob dies and Bill has a baby with Bob's wife, baby becomes Bob. Make sense? Yeah. Use names you all understand. Billy Bob and Billy Joe and... yeah, it's not West Virginia, but it's close. Verse number 7. And if a man like not to take his brother's wife, then let his brother's wife go up to the gate unto the elders and say, my husband's brother refuseth to raise up unto his brother a name in Israel. He will not perform the duty of my husband's brother. Then the elders of the city shall call him and speak unto him. And if he stand to it and say, I like not to take her, then shall his brother's wife come to him in the presence of the elders and loose his shoe from off his foot and spit in his face and shall answer and say, so shall it be done unto the man that will not build up his brother's house, and in his name shall be called in Israel in the house of him that hath his shoe loosed. Do you remember back about 15 years ago, President Bush was overseas and somebody got mad and spit and threw a shoe at him? That's where that comes from. Isn't it amazing? Things don't change. Now, you say, preacher, that's pretty graphic. That was part of the Hebrew culture. That was part of keeping the Hebrew people going and the family lines going. And there's a reason for this. Hang on. You'll see. We saw in Ruth chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, the same thing. Turn to Leviticus. Keep going back to the left. Leviticus is right before the book of Numbers. Leviticus chapter 25. Look at verse number 47. Leviticus 25, verse number 47. And if a sojourner or a stranger wax rich by these, and thy brother that dwelleth by him wax poor, and selleth himself unto the stranger or sojourner by thee, or the stock of the stranger's family, after that is sold, he may be redeemed again. One of his brethren may redeem him. Either his uncle or his uncle's son may redeem him, or any that is nigh kin, see the word kin, kinsmen, unto him of his family may redeem him, or if he be able, he may redeem himself. And I'm not going to go through all this. It kind of goes through somewhat of the same thing there. And we could go to also Mark chapter 12. Go to the New Testament. Mark chapter 12. Matthew, Mark, Luke, Mark chapter 12. Look at verse number 18. My pages are sticking and my fingers aren't turning it. I got a spit on them here. I didn't throw my shoe. Matthew chapter 12. Look at verse number 18. Then come unto him the Sadducees, which say, there is no resurrection. And they asked him, saying, Master, Moses wrote unto us, if a man's brother die and leave his wife behind him and leave no children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were seven brethren, and the first took a wife, and dying left no seed. And the second took her and died, neither left he any seed, and the third likewise. And the seven had her and left no seed. Last of all, the woman died also. In the resurrection, therefore, when they shall rise, whose wife shall be of them? For the seven had her to wife. And Jesus answering said unto them, do ye not therefore err, because ye know not the scriptures, neither the power of God? Now, that's in reference to this kinsman. So the Sadducees were bringing up this matter of the kinsmen. Now, I'm not going to go into all the answers for that. You can ask me later, and I'll answer that. But just know, the kinsman is the nearest living male relative by blood to the person who passed away. Does that make sense to everybody? So, say, why is that important? Go back to Ruth chapter 4. Right, Ruth chapter 4. And I'm not going to go into all of this, but I believe in chapter 3, and it's not a big deal right now because it picks up right here in chapter 4, but I believe it's in chapter 3, and you're not going to find it, so look this way. There, Boaz is wondering who the nearer kinsman is for Naomi. And he finds there is one person living who is a closer relative to Naomi and Elimelech than he is. That's where you pick up here in chapter 4, verse number 1. Then went Boaz up into the gate and sat him down there, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by. In other words, he went to the gate waiting for this feller to walk by, and he said, "Hey, come here, sit down." And he calls him over and he says, "Look, I've got 10 witnesses here, and here are the 10 elders. There's 20 people here. Naomi, who was married to Elimelech, she's back in town. She has a piece of ground that she wants to sell, and you're the nearest kinsman. I'm second in line. I need to know, do you want to buy that ground, or are you going to let it go so I can get it?" He said, "Well, I want the ground." And he said, "That's fine, but realize, if you buy the ground, you also got to take Ruth and bring up a child with her." He said, "I don't want the ground. I'm done. One mother-in-law is enough. I don't need another one." I didn't say that, did I? I did. Now, Boaz was as interested in Ruth as he was the land. He didn't care about the land. He wanted Ruth. The other feller wanted the land, but not Ruth. And there was no side deal here. I'll take the land, you take her. You couldn't do that. Not by Hebrew law. So, the guy says, "You can have it." He said, "Now, you're saying that in front of these 10 witnesses and the elders of the city. There are 20 people hearing you say you don't want it. Is that correct?" He said, "That's correct." So he takes his shoe off. He gives it to the other guy, and they do whatever they do with the shoe. I don't understand the importance of it, but they do. "Don't take my boots. Amen. That's all I'm going to tell you. You don't want to put your feet in my boots anyway." Now, I can't tell you exactly. This is my opinion. My opinion is Boaz was not a whole lot older probably than Ruth. He may have been a little older, but not much. Have a feeling his father or his uncle may have been the nearer kinsman. And he said, "Look, you got a pretty girl there that needs married. You want her? I'm past that. Good, I'll take her." A lot of times people will tell you, "Well, Boaz was an older man," and no, he wasn't. Boaz was not this elder person. He was a relative of Elimelech, but probably was like a nephew or a grand nephew even to Elimelech. He was fairly close in age. And by the way, Ruth was probably mid to late 20s, maybe even as old as 30. We don't know. Not an old lady, but even if Boaz would have been in his middle 30s or 40, he's not super duper old. Shoot, 55 is not that old anymore. I'm not there yet, but I'm getting closer. Now, I find nowhere, and I've looked, I find nowhere that it says that Boaz was married to somebody else. I can't tell you that he wasn't. But I can tell you this, according to Scripture, I find nowhere where he had a wife or children or any other family. Boaz was not a biological brother to Elimelech, but probably a nephew or a second cousin of some sort to Elimelech. Now, you can say, "Well, preacher, I don't agree with you on that." Fine, that was my opinion. You have yours. You pick your nose, I pick mine. That's what that amounts to. But I will say this, Boaz did the legal and honorable thing, making it official before witnesses and making sure this was done right. That speaks a lot of his character. I'm going to go ahead and say this, and Scott, you heard me say this earlier today. It's a shame that business people have to have you sign agreements because people in the industry that they're in are crooked. It sickens me. one bad person can make that whole thing sound bad. Look how many people don't trust preachers because there's one bad preacher. Look how many people don't trust politicians because there's not one good politician. Sorry. I was waiting for it. She was like, is he? Yes, I did. Now, wait a minute. But we have that opinion. I know a lot of good politicians. Now, I know a lot that aren't good. That's like saying all doctors are bad doctors. That's like saying all mechanics are bad mechanics. Yeah. Got you on that one, Scott. Keep your mouth going long enough, I'm going to slap you a few times. Now, wait a minute. You got to realize, just because you have a bad experience doesn't mean everybody is that way. I know ladies who are hurt by a man. They think every man in the world is some jerk and some pervert and some weirdo. Weirdo maybe, but the rest of it not. Just because some woman didn't treat you right doesn't mean all women are trash. I'm just telling it like it is. I know men who won't trust any woman because he had one bad experience in his life. That's as unfair as it gets. Now, number three, and I'm going to finish up with this. And then we're going to tie it all together. Are you ready? I'm about to have fun. You're going to see something tonight, and you're going to get to see the Bible come together in a very unique way. Boaz is an important figure in the lineage of Jesus. Look at Ruth chapter 4, verse number 17. Everybody doing okay? Now watch this. You're not going to see Jesus' name here yet, but watch this. Look at chapter 4, verse 17. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, "There is a son born to Naomi." Now, it wasn't actually Naomi's son. It was her grandson through Ruth and Boaz. Now watch this. And they called his name what? Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of... Oh. The kingly line of Jesus runs through the lineage of whom? David. Ruth was the great-grandmother of King David. Ruth becomes the great-grandmother of King David. By the way, this is the kingly line of which gives Jesus the royal lineage to the throne that will be in Bethlehem, the city of David. Where did Naomi and Elimelech live? Bethlehem, Judah. Later they dropped Judah and it was just Bethlehem. Where was Jesus born? In the city of David. Guess who brought it there? His great-grandmother from Ruth. Turn to Matthew chapter 1. You don't believe me totally, but here you go in Matthew chapter 1. Look at verse number 4. Let's start in verse number 1. I'm sorry. Matthew chapter 1, verse number 1. This part that you never read because it's a bunch of names. The double column speed reading. This book of the generations of who? Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. And Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. And Judas begat Phares and Zerah of Tamar. And Phares begat Ezram. And Ezram begat Amram. And Amram begat Aminadab. I wish they had Bill and Bob and Joe. And Aminadab begat Nahson. That's not Nissan. And Nahson begat Salmon. And Salmon begat who? Boaz, or in the Hebrew it's Boaz, of Rahab. And Boaz begat Obed of Ruth. And Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon. Did you notice Ruth's name is listed in the lineage of Jesus himself due to Boaz? Why was this thing of the kinsmen so important? It was so important because that's how you kept the bloodlines going for the lineage of Jesus. That's how they kept things pure for Israel. Now watch this. Ruth, this lady from Moab, had no idea what was about to happen. Here's this poor girl who moved to a foreign country with her mother-in-law, going to be, pardon the expression, poor trash, begging for food, working her tail off just to keep food on the table. She goes to a field and finds a wealthy man and starts working, and she's just doing what she needs to do to put food on the table, and this guy notices her, and I'm sure she probably looked. She noticed he was probably fairly handsome, and he had money, but she didn't think she had any chance at it. Little did she know, that guy was noticing her and said, going after that one. Had to pay a price for it, but he did. And guess who became the great-grandmother of King David? That poor little Moabitish girl who moved there with her mother-in-law. Imagine what would have happened if Orpah would have come. Ruth was just trying to work hard and care for herself and her mother-in-law. She had no idea one day her name would be in the Word of God, a whole book of the Bible attributed to her story, and that her name would be listed in the lineage of David and Jesus. Do you think she ever thought she would be the great-grandmother of a king? She's just trying to put food on the table. I want you to look at Ruth chapter 2. Let me read two verses to you, and I want to show you something. Actually, three verses. Look at verse number 10. Ruth chapter 2, verse number 10. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, that's to Boaz, why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knowest not heretofore. And the Lord recompense thy work, and of a full reward be given to thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Do you remember what Ruth was told by Naomi? Go back to your homeland and your family and your gods. Here's a little girl that moved with her mother-in-law to a foreign land. She's got a good attitude. She's loyal. She's faithful. And she has actually come under the trust of a God that was not hers by birth. She was a saved lady. She loved the Lord. She had given up her false religion for true, what I call Christianity. Now watch this. Boaz sees a very special quality in Ruth. Boaz sees someone totally devoted to her mother-in-law, and says, I'd like somebody to love me that way. I'd like somebody who's willing, if she would do that for her mother-in-law, that's the kind of woman I'd like to marry. Boaz could do anything he wants. He didn't have to buy that land. He did not have to claim Ruth as a wife. And he didn't have to be the kinsman. But he wanted Ruth. He's willing to pay Naomi and take care of Naomi, marry Ruth, and bring up children with her. By the way, in the name of her first husband. Now watch this. You say, why? He did all that so he could get a wife. He was looking for the right one. When he found her, he said, I ain't letting her go. We'll get into more of the story next time. Every head bowed, every eye closed. This thing of the kinsmen is very important. It sounds just so simple at first. Just another word. Oh, it's just family. Oh, no, 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 no. This is the lineage of Jesus in his kingly lineage through the veins from Abraham and David, according to the book of Matthew chapter 1. What an important truth.